Are there parts of motherhood that did not come naturally?
Do you feel overwhelmed? Are there secrets you wish you knew in advance about the motherhood journey?
Could you use a place to cope with motherhood, laugh your woes away, and lighten the mommy guilt?
Welcome to TORD, Finding a Mom Life Balance.
Welcome back to TORD, Finding a Mom Life Balance. On this week's episode, we're going to answer the question, is it okay to desire gratitude as a parent? Torn Tribe, I'm excited about jumping into this topic with you because in all honesty, gratitude, emotions make me uncomfortable. So we're going to just put it out there and start talking about it because that is the one thing with my parenting journey meme that becoming a mom led to having a bigger heart. I tell people all the time, the day that I met my son, Sasha, and he embraced me, it was as if the Grinch's heart grew two sizes that day. And I was forever changed and have been crying ever since. Tears of joy, tears of sadness, tears of joy, tears of anxiety, you name it. The boys have made me cry. So I'm excited to be answering this question today together, memes.
Yeah, and I think what stood out to me as we were thinking about it is how complex even one concept can be, and from how many different perspectives, approaches, you could come to this topic. So we're hoping, Torn Tribe, that wherever you are on the journey, how you're feeling, if you are feeling super appreciated, please write in, tell us about it. If you are like, oh, the universe heard me and I need some tips on how to get these rat bastards to know what it takes to pull off this show day after day, then we're here for that too.
Yeah, I think just asking the question, honestly, and writing it down was a struggle because a desire for a thank you or appreciation as a parent from the people that I'm serving all the time seemed kind of out of line. And I think that just has to deal with maybe my personal paradigm or how I view parents. Because the immediate thing that comes to mind, I put myself in the child's shoes and it's like, I didn't ask to be here, you know? So, you know, do I owe you a thank you? I don't know. And I keep going back and forth between the two roles as a parent. Yes, it would be nice to hear a thank you for all the things I do for you. And then as a child, it's like, do I owe you a thank you? Because I didn't ask to be part of this family per se. But I think it's the maturity in our parenting journey that gets us to the point to realize there is a deep down desire, because our relationship with our children is really no different than any other relationship in our life when we're serving people. When you go to a restaurant and the waiter brings you your food, the ethical thing to do, the thing with etiquette, is to say thank you, right? So why would we expect any less or try to force ourselves to suppress that desire to hear appreciation?
And it's interesting because this is another topic in parenting, that there are aspects of my personality that in some settings could be seen as negative, and I consider them self-preserving. Right? Because I think you're right. Asking that question to some parenting, in some philosophies, to your parenting paradigm could be like, why are you sitting around worrying about a thank you? Some might be saying, well, that your children didn't choose, you made an option. And right, we even in our planning, talking about this philosophy where parenting is this responsibility that you're almost supposed to be this martyr to your child. I never held that philosophy. And half of it could just be, I was an only child for a lot of time. I'm not going to say there aren't times in my life I've either been selfish, self-centered. I was single for a long time. But I think those qual and honestly, I remember having this thought really early in college, and my counselor kind of applauding it because I was telling someone else, it was pre-mindfulness and self, what do we call it? Taking care of yourself. what's the other term for it? Mindfulness and self-care. Pre any of these philosophies, I was telling another college student, well, you need to take care of you. There's like a piece of, I don't even remember what the issue was for her at the time, but I was just like, you have to think of yourself. And it was this idea of like putting on your mask first and then taking care of someone else, which so many people compare that to parenting now. But I think this idea that you should be grateful of things in your life and model that, but then also expect that in your family dynamic. There should be an awareness of what's done for you, what's in service of you, and how you can be appreciative of that. So I think it kind of aligns with my whole breaking this parenting paradigm that might have been out there or is on social media of like, we're the ones that make it happen. We are the one who chose to build families, all these things. But I think just for making the planet a better place, it's one of those, like, you want a kind kid. You also want a grateful kid with you and everyone else.
Yeah, so I think it is okay to come to terms with the fact that you are desiring a form of gratitude in response to your parenting. You are seeking that out from your child. Everybody else can say you're being a great mom, but nothing speaks more volumes, like holds more weight and gives you more pep in your step than hearing it directly from the person that's actually your child and you're doing all these things for. And I think I came to that realization many years ago when I was driving my son at like 5 a.m. in the morning for his running practices. And on our way back one morning, he's like, Mom, thank you so much for bringing me to these practices. And it wasn't until that moment that I realized, oh, snap, like my heart was actually depleted. My spirit was actually depleted and I actually needed that thank you. Because and then it made me soar on like Winkle's inks the rest of it's like, oh, tomorrow's 5 a.m. didn't feel as heavy because I knew I was doing it for someone that appreciated it. And we could go the extra mile when they're sharing in the sacrifice and acknowledging the sacrifice that you're doing for them. So it's not a selfish thing to want to hear a thank you. It's also not a power trip. Because I also remember before having kids, hearing people like, guys, I'm originally from New York City, and I never grew up around New York City kids that said, yes, ma'am, no, sir, to their mom and dad, you know, and definitely not the household I grew up in. So when I came down to the South as an adult, and I would hear children say that at first, I gotta admit, I was a little judgmental. I'm like, what? What is this? The military? Like, what are you? And no, don't call me ma'am. Like, don't throw me in the bucket of adults that you have like this authority power thing over. And then as I became a parent, I realized it was their way of trying to model for their kids respect, honor, you know. And so when I was thinking about that, and I realized with my older son that I actually sometimes needed an actual thank you or some form of communication, whether it was verbal or nonverbal, that showed me that they appreciated the things and they saw me. Because I think that's what it comes down to, Torrentar. When we're asking the question, is it okay to desire gratitude as a parent? What we're really asking, is it okay for me to desire for my kid to see me, to see all of me? To see how much I'm laying down to help them accomplish their dreams or to help them have a healthy meal or a roof over their head or a shower every day or the ability to brush their teeth 3 or 4 times a day, you know, because there's a lot of things as Americans that we give our kids that they're oblivious to the rest of the world doesn't have it like that, you know, and it's not that those parents are doing any less. It's just they don't have as much opportunity or possibilities to make that happen for their family. And so I think it's a resounding yes, it is okay. And I think it's actually healthy to come to terms that that's what you're seeking when you're serving your family at times.
And I think the model that, like you were saying, sometimes it's a word and sometimes it could be other things. And so I teased Athena in saying that I'll take a yes, ma'am, now. I would have probably had the same reaction she had years ago, but now no whining excuses and just a nice, quick yes, ma'am, I'll take it. But I think also seeing in your children and your family's actions that they're listening and seeing you, and that it's an ecosystem. And so being conscientious of when you can model for them, showing appreciation and leaning in where it's needed, or your energy, your approach to doing the things that can become routine, that are 5 a.m. struggles or late nights or the working on projects together. But your attitude and your approach and how you're doing it, making that a balanced ecosystem in your family so that everybody has a role and everyone can lean in and it isn't an authority of who gets the thank you and who gives the thank you. Like it's not a hierarchy of who has authority of how that plays out is really important too.
Yeah, because I was gonna share Torn Tribe. Like, once I realized that, hey, hearing gratitude, hearing the word thank you, receiving the hug or the pat on the back or the random note left on my desk saying, Mom, I love you. Thank you so much for doing this. Or, and it not being a holiday and it just being a random Wednesday. I started to put it out there towards my boys. Leaving them random notes throughout the week or thanking them for calling me out on something. Because some my boys are very no one had to train them in this, let me tell you. They're very good at calling people out when they say one thing and are doing a different thing. I think it's called hypocrisy. So they're very good at calling that out or seeing the contradictions where it doesn't line up. And they'll hold me and my husband Steve very accountable to everything we say. And so just even letting them know that I appreciate their attentiveness and their ability to listen and connect dots and to hold me to being a better human. And for holding me to honoring God and everything I say and do with them. And so I started leaving them notes or. And Torn Tribe, I don't know if I've ever shared this on the podcast or whatever, but I am not a huge touch person. So when you get a hug from me, savor it because it took a lot in me to give you the hug because just touch is not my love language. And so I started purposely before they go to bed at night telling them, like, hey, I love you to infinity and beyond. And there's one son that we actually, because his love language is touch, I actually do give him a hug and the kiss on the right cheek and the kiss on the left cheek. And then he does it back to me. And it's something that we've done since he was little. And so now that he's older and he initiates the process, I'm like, oh, he's modeling it to me that he appreciates how I'm loving him. And so he's trying to love me back the same way. And so if there's a deficit in that gratitude cycle within your home, be the first to step out there and be vulnerable with it because that was like the biggest thing for me was I was kind of ashamed at first for desiring a thank you from a minor, right? From this little kid that had to depend on me for everything, but I still wanted him to acknowledge how much I was giving up to make it happen. And so when I started being vulnerable and leaving the notes and giving the hugs and actually telling them sometimes, like, hey, I really don't have it in me to drive again another 30 minutes back and forth to this place. I hope you realize that I am tired, but I'm still going to do it because I love you. And just being verbal like that, and it's not a guilt trip, and it's not to make them feel bad, but it's to bring them into the process of what it takes to live life as a family.
And so with that highlight, we were thinking of just mentioning that if you're considering, you know, elevating this in your family, or you're curious of what are some of the different love languages, because not everyone receives it the same way and not everyone is inclined to show it in the same way. You could take a look at Five Love Languages for Children, and that's by Gary Chapman and Ross Campbell. And so that's the family version of the Love Languages series.
Yeah, it's a great resource because we all love differently and we all receive love differently, and gratitude and appreciation are no different. There's multiple facets in doing that. And I think it will help you get a framework in order to shift awareness, of how your family may be showing you gratitude and you've just been missing it because it's not the way that you receive love, right? So there's also that part of it. But I will say, like, for our family, the way we model gratitude is I'm a writer. I like to write. And so we do thank you notes to family members, to each other, especially amongst my boys. I make sure that they're writing thank you notes to each other, especially since we have one son that's off at college and he's far. So we send care packages to lift his spirit and say, hey, although you're not home, we still appreciate what you contribute to our family, and who you are and what you're accomplishing. The other, I think the kitchen is when I think of gratitude and I visualize it, I see it as our kitchen because that's where the nasty happens. And torrents are, I absolutely detest cooking. Like, it is not in my wheelhouse at all. I don't understand the going to the grocery store, the prepping, the coming home, and it's still not done. Like, why can't we just wiggle our nose and have a meal on the table? But it's in the mess, right? So it's in the mess that you make gratitude happen. If it wasn't messy, there wouldn't be anything really to be thankful for. And so at a very young age, our boys are invited into the kitchen. And what I love about our home is that our kitchen is like the center point and it connects to the living room. So you're always, no matter where we're always like in the kitchen or the living room, right in the center of the home. And whether they're getting something to help contribute to an ingredients or they're helping me wash the dishes. And as they get older, it becomes this beautiful thing where they're wiping down the table and I'm doing the dishes and we're talking about whatever random thing they decide to bring up. But it creates opportunity for gratitude because they'll tell you things that, happened weeks ago or a month ago, and it'll just come out because they were sweeping up a crumb or the walls come down because we're washing dishes and we're all just here moving about busily, just busy doing the activity. But it's interesting the conversations that come up. And then especially for my older son, when he comes home, it's definitely one of our anchor ways that we know we'll get to connect. At the end of the day, as we're cleaning up the kitchen after dinner, we know it's a definite time because it has to happen. Like, the dishes need to get done. We're not going to just walk away and let bugs come live with us. So it's a guaranteed time to connect and tell each other what we're grateful for or what we appreciate with one another.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because that is a part of parenting that I've always struggled with because it was such a love language in our, and it is in our family, the making the meal. Like, our grandmother, just that was a way that you came to her home and the way she made you feel welcomed and nourished you. And it was with her words and it was with some, her popping out gifts out of nowhere for everyone that walked in along with this meal, was something I always asked myself. And so for me, that is still when it happens, which was interesting because the other day, Soph's comment to her grandmother who asked, like, oh, so when you have kids, then your mommy will cook for them. And I just kind of like chuckled, because I'm like, how many home cooked meals does Soph associate with me? But her response was, yeah, she will. And it was like very interesting to me because I think it's just an association of like whatever. And I really thought she might be like, well, maybe not that, but maybe like a craft or an activity. But I think because we do bake together, because there are some meals that are things I do like to make, she still makes that association of like, yeah, my kids will have a grandma who like does that kind of stuff with them. So I found that very amazing. So I was like, I don't know what I did right there, but okay, you're convinced I nourish you. But I do think that all of those aspects of that time, the downtime, you know, that our families are puzzle lovers and sitting around those kinds of crafts and projects, or I'm not great. My orchid that was on my table for a little over 2 months just went to the other side this week. I'm not a green thumb, but those kinds of activities and time where you are maybe in your head and you're sharing them with other people could be that time for the talking and the gratitude or the reflection or what you're, and I think those are the ones that I definitely try to work in. So there is that possibility for sharing what you've appreciated and hearing where people are.
Yeah. And one of the other ways we've modeled it or embedded in our dailies is before every meal with our kids, we pray, and it isn't a repetitive prayer, and it isn't always said by the same person. We rotate, and it is our time to reflect on what we're thankful for. And it's not only the food in front of us, but considering the hands that prepared it and considering the other things that are going on in the world and being grateful for our today. And one of the things that we're constantly talking about is our breath. The fact that God has chosen to give us breath again to live another day together is something that we consciously say out loud that we're thankful for. And it's interesting because as they grow up and we say these prayers before meals, we kind of laugh sometimes when now they're like, when they complain about what's on their plate after we have just said we are grateful for it, they're like, oh, wait a minute. Do I have to? Can I still be thankful and not want to eat these? So you know that they're listening and they're partaking and picking it up and seeing the purpose of gratitude, right? And so that is just a very practical way that in our very busy, fast-paced life, we slow down enough 3 times a day to consciously say out loud what we're each grateful for, so that it becomes more natural to roll off our lips when we're actually in the heat of moments of living life throughout the week and in the routine to make each other feel appreciated. So give opportunity for gratitude, Torn Tribe. Try to find nuggets in your days to do that. And memes, I was going to say the red flags or the kind of language around gratitude. I know for myself, I know my gratitude meter is low when I'm dreading the basic everyday activities and the meals don't look half like they were really well thought of, you know, or they look like half the energy went into it. Because again, gratitude puts a pep in your step to go the extra mile. So when you're beginning to see that, you know.
I'm a tone offender. The bitterness, the resentment, raising my voice, the having an attitude, seeing it on my face. That's the way it shows up for me.
Yeah.
So I definitely think, and I wanted to mention that I think keeping this mindset can maintain an outlook of abundance and appreciation, right? And so getting our kids away from this, like asking for material things or fixating on what isn't there, I think it's also really important to be an example of the gratitude for your health, like Athena was saying, for our meals, for each other, for being here. and the small things in every day, right? The beautiful views, going on a walk, the wind in our hair, taking a moment to really appreciate. There is always something we would like maybe different, but I think if we say more that there, it always could be worse, can help them have that gratitude and perspective as well.
Yeah, and I think you're not alone in the tone offender. I'm the sigher. I unconsciously I begin to sigh, and that's when my husband's like, "Are you okay? Are you going to be okay?" I'm like, "Why? What's going on?" He's like, "You're sighing again. Like, before you do everything, it sounds like it's such a burden." And that's when I noticed that my gratitude meter has been down, or I am not feeling appreciated or seen. We quickly, voice that. So that way they can reaffirm, like, "Hey, yeah, actually, you're right. We haven't said thank you to you. We are treating you like a robot, right? Like a machine." So it goes both ways and establishing that healthy relationship. I will say the benefit to having gratitude within your family is that you're building a community that desires to share life together. I notice when gratitude is in abundance, I desire to share the mundane with my family and say, "Hey, guess what? Look at this cool thing that happened at work today," or "This is what happened when I went to the store." Or let me tell you this story, it grows conversation. When gratitude is depleted, what I've noticed in our home is that we all isolate and we kind of start being like ships in the night, just missing each other. Or there's a lot of silence in the car, and not much being said, and it feels like we're disconnected. We don't know what's going on in each other's lives, or we kind of withdraw. And so I highly recommend like the gratitude cycle, because it's also physically healthy. Bitterness affects the heart, so does gratitude, but they're just at different ends of the, the pole, the barometer there. So it is a physiological effect as well. So Torn Tribe, we would love to hear what gratitude is looking like in your home, how your family shows gratitude, or how you would desire your family to show gratitude. And feel free to write in like anything that you're going through that makes you feel that torn moment, because yes, it is okay to desire gratitude as a parent. You're doing a lot.
And so Athena, what's mending you this week?
It's a good question. The rain. And Torn Drive, this is going to sound crazy, but my irrigation system. So I actually got an irrigation system a couple weeks ago, but this is the first week where actually I'm getting to use it. Yeah, I'm actually getting to use it. And you're going to call me crazy, but I am waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning just to watch it go. And it's so messy that I don't have to be out there moving that sprinkler. And it's all happening at the same time. The back and the front are getting watered. And I have grass shoots coming up. There's nothing more fulfilling. I don't know. People might
think I love a well-oiled machine. I am an appreciator of things functioning as intended. So I love it.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh my gosh, why does this feel so good to watch those little heads come up?" And nothing better than that noise, and you're not connected to it. And dude, now I'm like, I'm such a lagger with technology, and which is so weird because I work in technology, but I am. And it's interesting how this thing is like connected to Bluetooth, and I could turn it on from anywhere. I can even tell my Amazon woman to turn it on, and it's amazing. It's a lot of fun. So that's what's been bending me, the technology that has just been implanted in my lawn and seeing green come to fruition again. Nice. How about you, Memes?
Well, in the last year and a half, Owen and I have been having lots of management conversations, but of late, rather than sometimes being frustrated about differences of opinions, usually his opinion about how my approach and my opinion on his approach. We've been sharing lots of resources, and I really do like well-oiled machines and when things work as intended. And I recently asked a question of someone I work with and was given this article about a phase wrapping up. For me, it's wrapping up the school year, but in this article, it was just more about constant, gentle pressure. And it kind of reaffirmed an approach to like, keep working towards your bar for excellence and keep working on what you value. And like I was saying, when something works the way it's supposed to, like I named something and got a resource and it made so much sense. And then Owen and I shared it and it even validated some other things we've been talking about. And I like when the universe does that. And so I'm sending lots of shine to my colleague for being such a value add to all these conversations, but then me and O for being able to be thought partners also.
Yeah, it's fun to collaborate with those that you love. So that's exciting. Yeah. But yeah, it's nice to grow, but it's not until you have like the conversations where you don't see eye to eye or different methodologies that might feel like sandpaper at first that allows you to appreciate the ones that you're having. Where you're like, oh, okay, this is jiving. This is making sense.
Definitely.
Exciting. Well, Torn Tribe, we would love for you guys to stay connected. We need more ratings, more comments, because we would love to grow our Torn audience where, you know, you come alongside two sisters talking about one parenting topic with zero guilt, because this is where we lay it down. We do not feel torn anymore, but we laugh our woes away. So, Memes, tell our folks how to stay connected.
Please write in to tornmlb@gmail.com and follow us on socials, Instagram, Facebook, and X at tornmlb. Thanks for joining.
And now for our men's segment, where we share a highlight from the week.
Choose grace.
When you feel torn, choose grace.